And we are back. You are listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Patty Walden. We've got our guests here, Dr. Tavari Brown, cancer survivor Sandra Meldrum, nurse navigator Doris Jones. I found out during one of our breaks that Nurse Jones is herself a cancer survivor. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, but let me give the phone number. We do take your calls. I know you're out there and I know you have questions. That phone number is 404-880-9255. Doris, you want to share a little bit of what it was like for you to learn that you were diagnosed with breast cancer? And how long ago was it?
Well, July will be 10 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Like Sandra, it was quite the shock and you're like, who are you talking to? But I kind of describe it to some people like, you know, Charlie Brown, Christmas, and or wherever he's talking, and he's in his classroom setting, and all of a sudden you hear the teacher going, wah, wah, wah. That as soon as they say cancer, you don't hear anything. And I think Dr. Brown said something earlier, which is, you've said this, now you need to know that, quit talking because they don't hear anything. And it was very much a shock. My sister described it as, oh, well, the good news is you're an oncology nurse, and, well, the bad news is you're an oncology nurse. So it was a two-sided sword, but I had strong family history of cancer, caregiver for family, and, you know, as a bedside nurse caring for people. And I kind of felt like now I have the whole picture as much as anybody can of right. The different aspects of how I might help someone through a process as well as you can when they're, you know, struggling on their own.
It's good. It's kind of like they say doctors are the worst patients.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I've heard that.
Did you have an immediate support system?
I did. Now, as a nurse navigator, I will say that there was not a navigation program when I was diagnosed. They were starting one at my facility, but there was not one kind of up and running. And so luckily, I've worked at DeKalb Medical since 1984, which makes me child labor, but I won't go into that. But so I've worked there for a long time. So 2007, I kind of knew enough people to kind of reach out, I'm having trouble with this, and how do I do this? Because I have my little pocket of things that I know how to do. So my saving grace was that I knew a lot of people who could be part of my support system if I just knew who to reach out to, which patients don't have that. And so luckily I'm in a place now to help them with that. But it is difficult because it's, even though I'm a nurse that's worked somewhere and I was an oncology nurse, I'm not really a nurse anymore, and I'm not really an employee anymore. I'm a patient trying to figure out where to go, just like another patient.
Right.
And it was a little challenging because you have to make sure people realize, well, I don't really know what you're saying because that's new to me.
Right.
Even though you know me, I don't know what you mean.
Right.
So.
Right.
That's a little challenging, but that's not everybody's issues.
Right.
I will add, I don't have a cancer diagnosis myself, but I have experienced several professionals who are affected by cancer while working in oncology, and everything you know temporarily goes out of the window when you're diagnosed, when it's your mother that's diagnosed, when it's your spouse that's diagnosed. And often, having that much book knowledge or even, you know, personal professional knowledge can be a detriment to individuals. And one of the things that we often tell our patients is to stay off of the internet, that there's just so much information on the internet that can be overwhelming for some individuals, and that can contribute to the stress and the lack of sleep and the sleep deprivation that will contribute to an inability to remember things or attend or, you know, maintain appointments, because it's already overwhelming enough without taking in this additional information for some people. It's just too much stimulation.
That's good. Right before the break, Doris, you had mentioned an item about support groups that I appreciate, that if you go, you might hear your story, or you might hear something that makes you feel better, because it's a worse story, if you will, than your own. And you kind of realize, okay, let me kind of shake myself and get out of my funk. I'm not the only person in this space. There are people who are potentially not doing as well as I'm actually doing. And so support groups, if you want to reverse it for a minute, they're a help even for that. So I appreciate that, you know, support groups were mentioned, and that there is help out there. And you mentioned, if it's done right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it can be a mixed bag. And I know that particularly in the Atlanta metropolitan area, there is some stigma about support groups that, you know, that they're weepy, or that you're going to come and be more depressed. But I would say, you know, as a therapist, that a well-run support group is there to support each individual that comes in. And so there's some reciprocity. You're there to, you know, listen to other people's stories, share your own, but you should leave the group. You know, a good group leaves you feeling more uplifted, not feeling worse
when you came in. Absolutely.
But I just want to add, some of the backfire, though, of other people feeling worse is there are individuals who have survivor's guilt. You know, I've had individuals come into Cancer Wellness who say, well, I'm not suffering enough. She had chemotherapy. I only had radiation. I only had surgery. So even, you know, an individual has to be able to process all of those things, even that feeling of guilt. Like, well, why do I feel sorry for myself when other people have it worse, and it makes them feel worse because they feel sorry for themselves?
Wow.
I would like to add, if you don't mind, is that it's sometimes in the group you have someone saying, well, I only had stage zero, or I only had surgery. It's almost an apology within the group that I didn't go through the same things you did. But the point that always we would say is, but you had cancer. And that's really the only thing that's important within the group. But even then, it's like, but my situation, I don't have those same things. But you're here to support your, you know, each other. And it's an awesome thing to walk in, and especially the new ladies. I'm familiar with the breast cancer support group, mm-hmm. which we've had for like over 25 years, the same group every week, and it's hardly ever not taking place. It's a very strong group, and it's not a teary, sad place. It's always open to people, and the ladies will just adopt whoever comes in, and sometimes that's all some people need. You can get, and you can say things in a group. It's the done in Vegas, stay in Vegas. You get support from your husband, your friends, but you maybe don't want to say certain things because you maybe are upsetting them. But you can say it in the group because you need to say those things. And that's important. So
that's good.
Thank you.
So we had a question during the break, and I want to make sure that I heard it right. So the question was, someone recently diagnosed with cancer, but this person is high strung, high energy. This is the person who takes care of everyone and everything. And people are used to seeing that person doing everything and owning whatever she does. How do you support that person when that person is the one to whom everyone else looks up and expects help? What type of support would that person need, albeit different than others?
Well, there is a lot of people that have said, well, you know, I'm so busy, I really just don't have time for this. But the thing is, it's here, and it doesn't matter if you have time, and you don't really have time to do a lot of things, but you have to make the time. I would say that you have to step back enough to say that your priority right there, right now, is to just focus on getting through your treatment and doing the things that's right for you. Because if you want to continue to have that impact and part of your family, you have to be here for it. So you need to take this little vacation, however you want to encourage and word it to somebody. But, you know, I had a young lady who married with two younger children. She's used to driving them here and there for different appointments. And, she was saying how nice it was that her husband is finally helping with dishes at night and helping with this. And all he can say is, well, I'm so glad you're going to be better in a few weeks because I'm ready for things to go back the way they were. And her thing was, I don't want them to go back the way they were. I like that you're finally helping in the things that were stressing me but not stressing you. So people's roles will change. And it's not always the roles that you thought you would have 2 years ago that you're in now. And I think, and maybe Dr. Brown can say, but, you know, you have a 37-year-old person who all of a sudden is having side effects and problems, and they feel like they're 82. And, you know, I'm 37, and this is not where I should be in life, but I am. And they're struggling with, you know, my mother can do things more than I can right now, and what's going on? And it's sort of, they're in a place that they never picture themselves now, which that happens with a lot, but it's a very hard thing to tell. It is very individual, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You have to let that person that's so busy sit down in one place and explain, or have them explain to you, how is it that we can work things into the schedule that you think is not accommodating so that we can get you through what needs to be done? And I guess that's really your question, and maybe my chemo brain kicked in and I went down the rabbit trail, so sorry.
You might have something to add, but let me just remind the folks out there, you're listening to Your Health Connection, which is community engagement from CCRTD, the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development. We are taking your calls live. You can call us at 404-880-9255. If you're a tweeter, you can tweet us at CCRTD. Dr. Brown, did you want to chime in on that?
Oh, absolutely. This is the topic that actually brought me to cancer. I was fascinated by particularly women's issues around cancer. So with this woman who is the rock of Gibraltar and the glue of the family and superwoman, I'm going to say something very strange, and hopefully you guys can kind of go with me on this, but there's plenty of data in the literature, in the post-traumatic growth literature, that states that cancer is a strange gift. Now, I know that's odd, but there are some lessons that can be learned. And I run a women's cancer support group, and one of the major things that we go over in the support group is really being able to take a step back and allow people the blessing of blessing you. So a lot of the women in my group feel like, oh, well, my husband isn't capable of doing this, or my adult children aren't capable of doing that, and gosh, Janet, the world would fall apart if I wasn't there to do everything. Well, you've been doing everything, and perhaps these people are a little more competent and capable than you've given them credit for. So even when you have individuals who don't want to accept help, let's say it's your brother, and the only thing he can do is drive you to treatment. He doesn't want to talk about it. He's not baking any casseroles and bringing them to you. But we have patients who turn down the ride. And it's because they're saying, well, I can do it myself, or I'm competent, or I'm capable, and radiation is typically about 15 minutes. But what I try to educate my patients in doing is allowing people to love on you, because that might be the only thing they know how to do. They might be able to make that one casserole. Just take it and say thank you. But I think the lessons in that is being able to step back and allow for growth in other people, that allow them to love you, allow them to support you, allow them to show what they can do and step up.
That's good. That's good. I appreciate that. Sandra, with everything Dr. Brown has said, are some of the things that she mentioned, did you go through that? Did you allow yourself to be helped? Were you at that place where you had to be helped? And what was your support system like?
Mm-hmm. I did allow them to help me. When I had my treatment, I would come home, take my shower, and I would go lay down because I knew I needed that rest. And whatever they wanted to fix for themselves, they did that. Sometimes I didn't feel, you know, there's certain foods that you want to eat and you don't want to eat. So I let them do for themselves. And they helped me also. I'm not going to say they did help me. And like I said, the support groups and my church family also was very supportive for me. So
Doris mentioned changing roles. Did you experience any of that throughout your treatment? Where you offered a certain type of support and someone else had to kick in and take over, and were you allowing of that help? Did you let people help you?
I let people help me. Okay. I wasn't going to, you know, I let them help me. My daughter was there, my husband, like I said, my friends came down from Connecticut. I let them help me. I didn't want to say, oh, don't bother, I'll do it. No, I let them do it.
Good.
So I did get enough help from them. And like I said, also my church family.
So I
and
see
the support groups.
You've been taking copious notes down there. So I don't know if you're writing down some things that Dr. Brown is saying and or Doris is saying, or there are some things that I've read. Doris, you might be able to help with this. Some things that help with chemo brain. And some of those things are writing things down. Dr. Brown, crosswords. These are some things that I've seen that help with cognitive. But I'm just curious, Sandra, are those notes or are the things that you're wanting to say? Or
maybe some things I wanted to say. Also, you know, you have to write down your appointments. You can't just say, I have a dental appointment tomorrow. I have to put that down. All my appointments I have to put down. And like I said, certain things I would like to, you know, remember, but sometimes I can't. And then if I say something, I'll look at my daughter and she'll put the word in for me.
Kind of like mm-hmm. you and the professor.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We are talking about chemo brain, cancer brain, and we're taking your calls live. So we'll talk to you about it when we come back.
Your annual inspection past due? Regular checkups by your doctor are the key to finding health problems early. 1 in 6 men will get prostate cancer. If you have a father or a brother who has had it, your chances of getting the disease are even greater. If you are a man over the age of 50, schedule your appointment today. Discuss whether testing for prostate cancer is right for you. This message is brought to you by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University and WCLK.